Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to preach today on spiritual warfare. A lot of people are not even in the war. They don't even know they're saved. If you're not saved, you're not in the warfare, but the minute you get saved, you're in the warfare. Some have the equipment, but they just don't use it. And I want to challenge you today to be reminded of the equipment God has given us and the fact that we should win the battle. Every battle should be won. There's no excuse for us being puny, lukewarm Christians that are defeated and having a difficult time living the Christian life. Satan fights us. We know that. Some don't know that they're in a battle, and I'm afraid some are losing the battle, and they don't understand why. So hopefully I can help you with that today, which is the purpose of the message. Ephesians, chapter 6, and let's begin with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because that's true, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that which ye also may know of my affairs and how I do, Tychicus and beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that ye might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And then he closed it by saying, so be it, or amen. How do you win the battle? We're all in a battle with the devil. You may be young here today. You're in a battle with the devil. Maybe children that are saved, they're in a battle with the devil. You may be gray-haired, and you're in the battle with the devil. You're still in a battle. The battle goes on and on and on. We have somebody that's fighting us. Jesus started out in the beginning of his ministry, and he was there in the wilderness. And guess who showed up? The devil. And what was he trying to do? Fight Jesus, destroy Jesus, make the second Adam fail. But he wasn't going to do that. And so he fought the devil. He knew that. Well, later on in the end of his ministry, where was he? Gethsemane. Was he still fighting the devil? Oh, yes, he was fighting the devil. There were sweat drops like blood coming from him when he was dealing with that and fighting the devil and, of course, following the will of his Father, Almighty God. We are always in a battle. We're in a battle every day. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You're still in a battle with the devil. So let's look at verses 10 through 12 as we look at the adversary. In verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong," notice this, "not in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Isn't that encouraging? We have the right not to just work in our strength against the devil, but we have the right to work in the strength of God, the strength of the Lord against the devil. How much power is that? Well, how about creation? God created this earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of that. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? All the other things. Then what other kind of power? Well, on the day of the resurrection, the power of God, the power of Jesus. He came out of the tomb and was raised from the dead. That's the kind of power we have. That's the kind of power available to you and me today to win the battle. We have no excuses for losing the battle. And thank God we're not alone. Now, look at verse 11. Satan is real. Satan is real. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Where did the devil come from? The devil was kicked out of heaven, right? I hope you know that. You should know that. He was kicked out of heaven. Lucifer, the archangel, thought he could topple God, the Father. And there's no way that will ever happen in all of eternity. And he kicked him out, and one-third of the angels were kicked out with him. Most scholars, conservative scholars, believe that these angels are the demons that are working today and that are involved in this world. But Satan is real. He's not some kind of clown running around with some feet looks like a deer, or some little hat that looks weird, or running around with some little spear in his hand, some kind of flannel outfit. That's not the devil. The devil's not some guy. A lot of these plays you go to, they'll have the devil in some kind of little robe or something, and they'll wrap it around him. It's black, and inside it's red, and he'll run hide behind the rock. Let me tell you something. That's not the devil. Now, I want to tell you today, in case you don't know it, the devil is real. He's absolutely busy. He is real, and he knows what to do. And that's why he says in verse 11 that you may be able to stand against the wiles, underscore that word, the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That word is the Greek word methodia. And we get our word method. The methods of the devil. The devil is tricky. The devil is a master at it. The devil has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. He has a lot of methods, a lot of schemes. Let me tell you something today, friend. You're in a battle, and do not underestimate the devil. He's real, and those that work with him are real. By the way, he's had at least 6,000 years of experience. He knows what he's doing. He all started out in the Garden of Eden doing that. He's called a lion. Why? Because he is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil hates you if you're saved. If you're a Christian today, he wants to destroy you. You say, "Well, he probably doesn't even know me." Let me tell you, the devil knows what's going on, and the demons know what's going on, and they're out there working and following him. We're in a wrestling match. Verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. One of our young graduates said he had been a wrestler. And I thought of this, I wouldn't want to wrestle him. I don't think I could beat him today. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against animals. We don't wrestle against people. We are wrestling against the devil and all of those that are working with him. Look at what he says here in verse 12. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Man, you're talking about a wrestling match. That's some pretty good wrestlers on the other side, isn't it? We're wrestling against these. And they are the organized helpers of the devil. And he has many of them, more than we could even imagine. And they are working. They're probably working right now in this service. They'll do anything they can to distract you or get you, keep you from hearing the gospel, or to make your mind drift somewhere, or put some thoughts come in your mind during preaching that you will be embarrassed to get up and even speak about. That happens. That's the devil. Demons working, doing all that demons do. And so here are all of these things that they're involved in doing. His helpers working and controlling the world system. And by the way, the devil is very religious. Don't think he isn't. He'll transform himself into an angel of light any way he can. And he fills every pulpit in the country that he can in order to distort the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. He is very religious. We sang the song a while ago, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Some of the lyrics in it was this: His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. There is no power on earth any more powerful other than God, than the devil and the demons who are working against you and me. Uncle Bud Robinson, some of you would know that name, a great preacher of yesteryear, and very little education, but he could preach. Many people got saved. He knew it was a war, and he said it this way: all my life, I'll bite the devil, and when I've lost my teeth, I'll gum him to death. He knew it was a battle. He knew it was a war. And I want you to know today that every day that you live, you are in a battle. So we have an adversary. Don't underestimate him. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to take away from you all the peace that God has for you. That's the way he works. But thank God, I've got some good news for you. God's given us something to fight him with. And that's the armor. Verses 13 through 17. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Stop right there. Don't take on part of it. Take on the whole armor of God. John MacArthur says the words put on or teach in the original tense that you put it on once and you never take it off. You leave it on. You take it on and you leave it on. You may not use it properly. You may not recognize, but we are to put on all of the armor of God, every last piece of it, and keep it on all the time until death calls us home or the rapture. One of the two. Keep on the armor of God. Football equipment. In high school, I played football. He was a great basketball player. I was a great football player. I was 147-pound center. And they cleaned my plow every game, just about. But I learned right away, you want to put the equipment on. You needed that helmet. You needed the shoulder pads. You needed the hip pads and the thigh pads and all of that. You needed those cleats on. You needed that. And if you were so dumb as to leave some of it off, you got what you deserved. And I heard about one guy that was going to run down and tackle the guy on the kickoff. And he had left off some of his padding so he could be faster and get there. And he said whenever someone stood in front of him, he ran through him and the other guy. When he woke up, the coach said, "How come you left that pad off?" And that's the way some of us are. We need to put it on, keep it on, keep all the pieces on. So what are they? Verse 14, he mentions, stand therefore having your, and by the way, we're supposed to stand. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having the girdle or the belt of truth on. Do you have it on today? Are you sure? The truth is the Word of God. God's Word is the only absolute solid truth we have in this world. The devil is a liar.
Yes,
he is the father of lies. He's always been good at it. And he'll lie to you anytime he can. He lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden and to Adam. And that's why we're in a mess today. Because they believe the terrible liar, the devil, but the Word of God never lies. The Roman soldiers would have that belt on, and they would connect all the other armor together on that belt, and the weapons would hang from it. I remember when I was a little fellow out in the country, sometimes they'd have the telephone man come. And the telephone man, I always loved to watch him, and they would get on that pole with those two spikes on their feet. Somehow they put them on there, and they'd climb that thing, and they had all those tools on there, and they would dangle and make a noise, and they'd climb up there and use one tool for this and one for that and one for the other. I always loved to see them do that. I loved to hear the noise of it, and it was always exciting for me when that would take place. And they had all of those tools ready. Let me tell you something. You better know your Bible, or you're not going to have the tools available. You've got to know your Bible, and the better you know the Bible, the better you can meet Satan's attacks. He's going to attack you, but know the Bible. That's so important. If you want to read, pardon me, if you want to read novels, read them. If you want to read emails, read them. If you want to be on Facebook, waste your time. If you want to read newspapers, anybody here still read a newspaper? I guess some do. And if you're going to read a newspaper, that's all right. But don't let anything crowd you out from reading this book. This is what you need. It's the Bible. It's the belt of truth. And we need to know that it's there for us. The Word of God is true. And then the breastplate of righteousness there in that same verse. The breastplate usually went from the neck all the way down to around the waist. Sometimes it was solid. Sometimes it might be chains and all of that. And I think here we're looking at a positional situation and a practical situation. The breastplate of righteousness. The positional thing is that we know if we got saved, we are declared righteous before God. We're going to heaven. It's a fact. It's done. It's over with. Positionally, we are in Christ. If you're not there, if you hadn't been saved, you're not in Christ. You need to get saved today so you can get in Christ. Positionally, I've been declared righteous. But in a practical way, we have to realize that that's not what carries us through. We need to practice righteousness every day on purpose. Do it because it's right. Do it because of what God said. And this covers all of the vital organs, so many vital organs. It was so important. One of them being, of course, the heart. And I think that might be the main symbol there, that it would be the believer's heart, keeping the believer's heart pure. Purity is a good word. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Are you doing that? Keep thy heart with all diligence. If you don't, you'll let things get in there, jealousy, bitterness, envy, all kinds of things get in there. Keep your heart. He's talking about the breastplate of practical righteousness. Now, if you've got some hidden sin down in your heart, that's bad. That's all the devil wants. It's a crack so that he can attack you. Whenever you have that in your heart, and if it's hidden, I want to promise you, if you're practicing a hidden sin and you don't get it right and you don't confess it and repent of it, then I want to tell you, my dear friend, you're asking for trouble, and you eventually, if you don't get it down, get it right, you will go down. You will lose the battle. You will be defeated if you don't get that sin that nobody else knows about but you and God out of your life. Holding on to sin and not dealing with sin. Here's a poem that I ran across by Frederick Langbridge. I don't know who he was, and you don't either, so it doesn't matter, but he did say something good. Here's what he said. Who knocks so loud? A lonely little sin. A little sin knocking. A little sin knocking. Who knocks so loud? A lonely little sin. Slip through, we answer, and all hell is in. That's all he wants. Give him a little crack. Give him just a little place a little space and he'll come there. That's why we need to have that breastplate of practical righteousness, living like we should for the glory of God. And then in verse 15, he talks about the feet being shod. The first part of that verse. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet shod. We need to have our gospel shoes on. Now, the Roman soldiers were supposed to stand. In battle, you don't get on your face. You may have to crawl a while, but you're going to stand. That's what you want to do, is stand and stand up. And so they had these sandals with hobnails in them. And it was sort of like cleats and some shoes for football players, or maybe spikes for those who play golf so you can get better contact with the ground and all of those things. And so he's saying that we need our feet shod like this. We want to stand. The army fights on its feet. Notice he calls it the shoes of peace. He's talking about the gospel of peace. Now, the devil will do everything he can to get you out of your shoes and make you lose your peace. You see, the gospel brings peace, doesn't it? You're supposed to have peace today. If you don't have peace, if you do not know when you die that you're going to heaven, and you don't have that settled, you don't have peace. And you will never have peace until you settle that. Then you get peace. You've got to know for sure that you're saved and that you have peace. And that's one of the purposes of the gospel. But the devil will come in and try to discourage you. He'll try to do anything he can to rob you of your peace. God wants us to live in peace in our marriages, in our relationships, in our churches. And he wants us to enjoy the Christian life. Peace. I have peace in my heart that the world never gave me. And thank God it's a peace the world cannot take away. So that's part of it. If you want peace today, get saved. Come to Christ. Get born again. And you'll have that peace versus discouragement. Satan has a lot of briars out there, a lot of thorns, a lot of sharp rocks. You better keep your shoes on. It's not wise to run around barefooted as a Christian in the spiritual world because you'll have some problems. Put on those gospel shoes. What does that mean? I think a secondary meaning is share the gospel. We are to always be sharing the gospel. I've discovered this, that the people who share the gospel the most usually are the people who win the battles. They're usually the ones that are more victorious. They're usually the ones that walking in victory. They're witnessing Christians. You say, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. You've been doing it a long time, and it's easy for you. I beg your pardon. It's never easy. In fact, probably the better you learn how to do it, the more the devil's going to fight you and try to keep you from doing it, though you know how to do it. And I'm telling you, every time it comes time for me to witness, I have to muster up a lot of courage. I have to kill my pride. I have to say, I've got to say it, and I must do it. I must do it for the glory of God. And it's not easy. They may not like me. I can't imagine that. But they may not like me. They may not like me. And they may cuss at me. Some of them have. Some of them have told me to go somewhere and it wasn't heaven. I'll let you guess where it was. But I'm telling you, it isn't ever easy to witness. But keep your gospel shoes on. And that'll help you beat the battle and win the battle against the devil. And more victorious Christians are witnessing Christians. And I believe we need to do that. Then there's a shield of faith. By the way, the last time I preached 50 minutes. I know. Oh, I hear you. I see you. I preached 50 minutes. And my wife, of course, besides Stephanie, said I was in the nursery. And then my wife came at me a little bit. And I said, well, let me tell you what happened. I'm old now. And I marked my clock, my watch, so I'd know when I started. But halfway through, I forgot what I marked, so I just kept preaching. So I may do that today. I don't know. I don't think I will. You hope not. Anyway, where was I before I got this way? The shield of faith, verse 16. Let's go to that one. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, important. All of this equipment. But this one is so absolutely, totally important. The shield that they had, the Roman soldiers, was about 2 feet wide, about 4 feet tall. And it was wood, usually made out of wood with leather on it. And the leather would not allow the arrows to penetrate it. And they used that. It was a very important piece. And they could move it around for protection. Left side, front side, right side, all of that. Now, you're never supposed to be running away from the enemy. So everything is geared defensively for that. And so, sort of like somebody that is a goalie in hockey. I love to watch those goalies in hockey. And, boy, they're tough, mean guys. Except the one that played for the Dallas team, the Stars, the other night. He got kicked. But anyway, that was a sad thing for him. But hey, they can go this way, and then they can go that way, and down this way, and that way, and they'll take off. They've got that thing there and those pads so they can stop the puck and try to keep them from scoring. Well, that's the way this shield of faith ought to be. We need to have it. We need to take it with us. Hey, doubt will cause you to be defeated. Faith, of all things, take the shield of faith. Faith. Somebody said it this way, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. You see, if there's no church, you're not feeding it. If there's no prayer in your life regularly, you're not feeding your faith. There's no regular Bible reading in your life, you're not feeding your faith. No faith, no wonder. And by the way, college students, since this is graduation day, when you go off to the university or college, a secular one, and some guy has a PhD, and all of a sudden, that numbskull that is educated beyond his intelligence, not all PhDs are numbskull, most of them, but that numbskull who has a PhD will try to shake your faith. And he's educated beyond his intelligence, and he tries to make you think that everything your preacher taught you and your youth director and all of the, your mama and your daddy and everybody is a bunch of baloney. That's when you need to take the shield of faith up and hold it against him and say, look, I believe the Bible. I believe what the Bible says. I'm going to keep believing the Word of God. No matter what you say, I'm going to believe God. I'll take God over a PhD anyway. So we need to do that. Do that. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Stay in the Word and you'll have more faith. Stay in the Word and you'll have more faith. And then there's the helmet of salvation. I forgot when I started. The helmet of salvation. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit. But what about the helmet of salvation? First of all, you need to know for sure you're saved. The helmet of knowing you're saved. These people who say, well, I think I'm saved today and later, I don't know if I'm saved. No, that won't get it. You're not going to win the battle that way. You got to know you're saved. It isn't wrong to say you're saved. It isn't arrogance to say you know you're saved. It isn't pride to say you know you're saved. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, that you're saved. I know I'm saved today. Thank God for it, and I hope you do. If not, before you leave, get saved today. Get saved today. We need to do that. The helmet of salvation protects the head. Well, what's up in the head? Well, the brain's supposed to be, right? You have a brain. And Satan, I want to tell you, he will always try to mess up your thinking. Stinking thinking is part of the devil's plan. He'll try to mess up your thinking. Here's what you need to do is take those thoughts that are not right and give them to the Lord. Don't look too pious at me. We all have thoughts that we wish we didn't have. All do. I have thoughts that I wish I didn't have. The devil attacks my brain, maybe to try to depress me or some other situation or maybe to have pride or whatever it may be. Every man has a battle. He has to bounce his eyes because lust is something that is common. And it starts there in the mind. And the devil attacks the mind. You got to have that helmet on. Know you're saved. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart and mind are connected. And so when you're thinking, your thinking has to be the right kind of thinking. The one that God wants you to have. Someone has said it this way, and I'll hurry. Thought is the father of the dead. I'm sorry, of the deed. Thought is the father of the deed. Here it is. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. That's the way it goes. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character, reap a destiny. And I promise you, the destiny is not always good when you go at it that way. Very quickly, the adversary, the arm of the attack, the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, the latter part of that verse. Who provides it? The Spirit of God does. What is the sword? Again and again, we tell you it's the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is this book, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. How many of you believe this book is quick? The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. God says it pierces even to the dividing asunder. It gets all the way down to the soul, the spiritual matters, and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By the way, don't just study your weapon. Say, boy, this is a nice weapon. I believe it'd do a good job if I got somebody to ram it in. Don't just study your weapon. Don't just defend it and say, well, if anybody tries to steal it, I'm not going to let them steal it. The Word of God is designed to use. It's a sword. It's for battle. Use it. It's a sword. That's the way it should be done, that we use it against the devil. You don't throw the Bible at the devil. Don't throw the whole Bible at the devil. When Jesus was attacked by the devil in the wilderness, what did he do? Well, the example is there for us because the Lord Jesus Christ was attacked three times. And three times he pulled out the sword and stuck it to the devil. When he got through, he said, I'll see you at Calvary, by the way. And so he was letting him know he was a defeated foe already. So you don't throw your whole Bible that way at the devil. You use the swords that are there. The Bible is sort of the storehouse. It's the place that has a lot of swords in it. And when you're tempted with such things, you need to deal with it on the basis of that temptation. For instance, here's the way the devil said it to the Lord. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus did what? Pulled out the sword, didn't he? Pulled out the sword and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's why we need to know our Bible. Stay in your Bible. There are swords in there. Whatever temptation, whatever weakness, whatever trials, whatever problems you run into, pull out a sword from the Word of God, from the storehouse. And when Satan attacks you, say, yes, Satan, I hear what you're saying, but the Bible says. And then do what the Bible says. Also, verse 18 tells us that prayer is part of it. Bunyan said he thought it was part of the different things that we had for the attack, that he thought it was what the Bible said. And so a piece of the armor. We need to be ready to fight. Do we have our armor on? Once you put your armor on, or you've got your armor on, or you're reminded of it, the next thing you need to do as a good soldier is get on your knees and pray. That's what he's saying. Put all of that on. Be ready. But get on your knees and pray. And pray. The battle is always won in the prayer closet. And if you're not a praying Christian, you're losing the battle. I promise you. You still have anger and jealousy and immorality and many things in your heart because you're not letting the Bible do its job. The battle is won in the prayer closet and believing the Word of God. By the way, older ladies, you can do that. You stay in the battle. How? You say, well, I can't do much. The people that are handicapped maybe say, I can't do a lot. You can pray. That's part of the battle. Isn't that what he says? It's part of it. You're in the battle and you can pray. Older people can pray in the nursing home. Little children can pray. We're still in the battle. Well, we have an adversary, don't we? The devil. He's real, folks. He's trying to distract you right now. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to eat and where you're going to eat and what restaurant and if you're going to beat the Methodist. It's right now you're thinking about it or what you're going to do this afternoon. I'm telling you, he's an adversary. But you've got the armor. Leave it on and use it. It's not for decoration. Use the armor against the devil. Most of you, many of you, I would say, are not doing that. You're living a defeated life. Sin is still there. You hadn't conquered some practice in your life because you're not putting on the armor and using what God has made available to you to win the battle. And by God's grace, we need to attack the devil. That is the only offensive weapon that is mentioned here. And God didn't want us to just keep it in the scabbard. Take it out and attack the devil with it. He hates the Bible and he's going to run from it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head is bowed, and we'll have our invitation in just a moment. If you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, friend, you're not even in the battle. In fact, the devil's got you whipped already. He really does. He's got you thinking right now, I don't like that preaching. I don't believe that stuff. That's just for sissies and women. No, no. That's a lie of the devil, friend. It's for you. You don't want to die and go to hell. If you're here without Christ today and you have never received him as your Savior, I want to tell you that the devil will fight you right now in this invitation to try to stop you from coming forward. But don't let him do it. You get saved today. Make it right with God. Get saved today. And then, Christian, would you come and make some commitments to God if God leads you that way today to say, Lord, I've sort of not been using some of this armor, and I need to use it. I need to win the battle. I haven't been winning the battle. I'm not even sure I'm in the battle. Let me get back in the battle. And Christian, there's no reason for you and me to be defeated. God's laid it out right here. Here it is. We've got an enemy. He's fighting us. We have the equipment. Use it, and we'll have the victory. And if you're not having victory in your Christian life, it's because you're not using the armor that God's given you. Let's stand, please, and we'll pray and have our invitation. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here lost, and I'm sure in the crowd this large, there's somebody right now thinking, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And I know the devil is trying to feed their minds with lies right now. Help them to see who it is. And help them to know that the Bible is telling them the truth, that they have to be born again. In order to go to heaven, I pray they'd come today. Let somebody show them in the Bible how to be saved. Then God help us as believers to renew our commitment to keep the armor on and to use the armor like we should so that we can be victorious Christians with great testimonies for the glory of Thee. God help us now, we pray, and help us to pray and use the sword of the Spirit against our arch enemy and all the principalities and powers of this world system that hate us. And we'll give you the glory for the victory. In Christ's name, amen.